Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke, and it is a story that leads up to the story we heard earlier. It's a story of Elizabeth and Zechariah when they hear the good news of the child that will come to them, a child to be named John. We'll begin in verse 5. In the days of King Herod of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all of the commandments and regulations of the Lord. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were getting on in years. Once, when Zechariah was serving as priest before God, his selection was on duty, and he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and offer incense. Now, at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of the people were praying outside. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John." And so after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. And for 5 months she remained in seclusion. She said, "This is what the Lord has done for me when he looked favorably on me and took away the disgrace I have endured among my people." Here ends the reading. And this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, 'tis the season for smiling, happy families on crisp-cut Christmas cards with shiny foil edging for an extra 47 cents. December 23rd. If you haven't sent out your Christmas cards yet, maybe it's not too late to showcase how 2018 was a great year for you and your family, how tall your kids are growing, how hashtag blessed you are. But you know, it's not an easy time of year for people who don't fit into the mold of the Christmas card. It reminds me of the Christmas letter my parents sent out a few years ago. This is something they like to do every Christmas. They gather updates on the members of the family, and they put together this email that they send out to their network. And my mom sent me a copy of that year's Christmas letter to proofread before she sent it out. And I noticed something as I looked at all of the updates on us kids. She would put things like Jonathan, and then in parentheses, married to Sherry, is on staff at Franklin University. Or Charles, married to Elizabeth, teaches history at PHS. And so when I got down to my name, it said, "Sarah, single." I'm like, "Mom, don't put single, just put my name." Apparently, I'm not alone in this struggle. Did anyone see the Christmas card that went viral last year? "Engaged, expecting, excited, Emily." Poor, poor Emily. When this young woman posted that photo on Twitter, it got thousands of likes, people retweeting it left and right, news stations interviewing her. It became this thing online where if you wanted to share that you were single, you would just put relationship status, Emily. So we are in the season of Advent, the season of waiting, leading up to the birth of Christ. And it's one thing to be in a waiting period that has a timetable. It's one thing to be in the waiting period from engagement to marriage, or from pregnancy to birth, or from learning you're going to be a grandparent to meeting your grandchild. But there are other waiting periods that have no timetable. What about the person who's in a relationship and isn't sure it'll ever go anywhere? What about the couple struggling with infertility, never knowing if their story will include a baby. And what about that single person who longs to be married, and yet year after year, they're just Emily? Pastor David just read the story of Elizabeth, and it is a story of waiting. But you know, I'm not interested in her 9-month waiting period after the angel appeared to them and said they would finally become parents. I'm not interested in how they waited through those 3 trimesters. I'm interested in the 3 decades or 6 decades that they were waiting and waiting for a child. Those years when they wanted their life to fit in with what the world said was normal. In Elizabeth's world, a woman who couldn't produce a child was seen as a disgrace, as a dysfunction in society, because her entire worth was wrapped up not in who she was, but in what she could produce. That was Elizabeth's lot in life. To the point where even when she did conceive, even then the Bible says she spent 5 months in seclusion, almost like she couldn't trust that she'd really be welcomed into society now. She was too old. She'd been childless too long. Those are the kinds of things the world doesn't usually put on Christmas cards. And it's easy to fall into that trap where you are just waiting for your life to start, or waiting to finally be normal in the eyes of the world, waiting for whatever it is you think will complete you. When I was in college, I had my first love. It was a young Pentecostal guy named Robbie. Ours was an on-again, off-again romance with plenty of drama because we kept trying to reconcile our different approaches to Christianity. But you know, first love can be a powerful thing. And I remember going with him to his church and all of its intense expressions of worship, and how the pastor's wife came over to me and laid her hands on me and prayed over me and quoted scripture to me. She said, "Sarah, trust in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Well, the desires of my heart could be summed up in one word: Robbie. That's all I wanted. See, this was years before I met my future husband and learned I could have really raised my standards. But I thought about her words, and I wondered if it was true, if that was God's promise to us. Trust in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. If we trust in the Lord, no matter how long we have to wait, we will get the desires of our heart. It sounds like a great promise. If you know that's coming your way, you can wait through anything. But that's the problem. What we think will complete us might not be it. What we think we're looking for and waiting for might not be what we really need. If you've been with us the past few months, you might remember that our church has been launching life groups. These are groups of 8 to 12 people who share a meal in a home about every 3 to 4 weeks to grow in faith and friendship. And it sounds simple, but it's amazing how just that once-a-month gathering can reorient you toward God. People have been setting aside the time for a home-cooked meal with fellow followers of Christ. They have been setting aside the time, even in this crazy lead-up to Christmas. And I've just been amazed at how God has been bonding us together and nudging us along the road of faith. And so for several of this month's life groups, the devotional time has focused on waiting, because we are in the season of Advent, waiting for the birth of Christ. And so we all started talking about times when we have been waiting for something in our lives. Let me tell you, these groups can get pretty deep. Some of us shared how hard it had been to wait through the separation, you know, that required period before you can officially get divorced. Others shared how they're waiting for family members to start speaking to each other again. And still others said they wanted to remarry, but weren't sure they ever would. One woman at Life Group shared how she used to be part of this double date and triple date kind of group where they would all get dinner together. But then after her divorce, once she was single, when she tried to arrange one of those dinners again, one of the other husbands said to her, "But who will you talk to?" Oh, how hard it is when our lives don't fit the world's definition of normal. But you know, we're not called to be the world. We're called to be the church. So when that member of Life Group had the courage to share that painful part of her past, I thought about how this is what we need. A place where we can share our junk and people won't turn away. We need to be the church together, a real family, the mismatched family of God. I think that's the true desire of our heart, that the true desires of our heart are not at the level of let me get remarried or let me have a child. The true desire is that we will be part of a family where we are fully loved and fully known, where we can bring all of ourselves, good, bad, and ugly, and people will love us through it. That is a gift God does promise to us. And that's what was happening right in that moment, sitting around a living room together, laughing and cringing and just being together. I don't think the double dates and triple dates of the world get that. I don't think the snapfish and shutterflies of the world get that. And it's true, it's really easy for us to fall into that same trap and think that those shiny images are what will complete us. But in the Bible, we get the real deal. When Jesus taught in the temple, he looked around at the men and women listening to him, and he said, "Here are my mother and brothers and sisters. Whoever does the will of my Father is my family." But his family wasn't the shiny foil edging kind of family. No, his family was a family of misfits and prostitutes, outcasts, and sinners. These were the people he gathered around the same table so they would know they weren't alone. And at the end of his life, when he hung on a cross, he looked down at his close friend and at his mother. And he said, "Woman, behold your son. Brother, behold your mother." Even to his very last breath, he was giving us each other. Little do we know what we really need. Maybe Elizabeth and Zechariah had what they needed all along. All those years they spent without a child, all those years of waiting. We're told they spent that time, quote, "living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord." And you know what that's code for? They were with their church family. They weren't alone. They showed up for worship. They asked for prayer. They held others in prayer. They served the poor together. They had the stranger over for dinner. All the ways faithful people come together in the name of God, that's what they did. God was giving them a family. They got their heart's true desire long before they had a little baby named John. God's promise to us may be a child or it may not. It may be a spouse or a job or a healing or an answer or it may not. But the true desire of our heart, God will give us that. The promise is that no matter what we're waiting for, we do not wait alone. So tomorrow, when a bunch of people come into that big barn and get handed a program and take their seat, when they sit there and in the quiet of their heart wonder where they fit, I think we have something to tell them. When they wonder if they will ever have the family they have waited for so long, let's tell them God's good news. This is where you belong. Will you pray with me? Oh Lord, thank you that when we don't fit into the mold that we think we should, you provide a place for us. Thank you that you have us belong in your mismatched family. So, Lord, in this moment, I ask that you would bring your love to all the lonely hearts who wonder where they fit, that you would help us be your messengers to show all the world that we belong to you and we belong together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.